Razor's Edge Audio presents Star Wars Addiction by Nathan Butler, based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
If it please the court, I would like to make a brief statement of preface for the record.
Colonel Boggs, you may proceed.
Thank you, General. This inquiry has been convened for the purpose of shedding light upon events transpiring during the recent defense of Krimmit, particularly the actions of Major Chanis Brightstormer. This is not a tribunal, nor are we interested in guilt or innocence of any parties involved. We simply wish to discover the truth. To that end, we have called Major Brightstormer's brother and fellow officer, Lieutenant Tal Brightstormer, who might best present this inquiry with a clear picture of Chanis Brightstormer's mental and physical state at the time of the incident.
Very political, Colonel. I'm certain the record will reflect your enthusiasm to avoid assigning blame in this case. Now, would you care to proceed?
Yes, General. Lieutenant Brightstormer, let's begin. Perhaps you can give us an idea of how your brother managed to keep his secret hidden for so long.
Right to the point. May I give my own preface here? For the record, that is.
Well, I don't see why not.
General, I'm not sure.
In the interest of fairness, proceed, Lieutenant Brightstormer.
Thank you, sir. My brother, Chanis, was not a bad man, nor was he a bad officer. However, to deny that he made a few particularly bad decisions would do the citizens of Krimmit an injustice. My brother raised me from the time I was 4. Our parents died in one of the Empire's crackdowns in the Rim. They went to dinner, leaving Chanis to watch me in our suburban home when the city where they were dining was razed by the imps from orbit. He did a good job raising me alone, and when I was old enough, we both joined the rebellion together, and even had the chance to serve in the same system, if not the same command, on several occasions, including during the Nagai crisis. I say this all to say that he has been a faithful servant of the Rebel Alliance, Alliance of Free Planets, New Republic, and everything else we've called ourselves since he enlisted. He has also, however, had a fairly rough time since his early teens, and while his service and situation do not make up for his actions, they should at least allow us to consider him in light of both his errors and his accolades.
A fair-minded attitude, to be sure. Quite commendable. Now the addiction.
Right. 6 months ago, on medical leave from his injuries in the battle against the Toffs, Chanis was recuperating on Ord Bendis and in an extreme amount of pain. The doctors at the hospital facility had him on an IV of colomegnazone. The street name for the same substance in its pure form is Megs.
What specifically were his injuries again?
He had multiple broken bones, but the narcotic was prescribed specifically for one set of injuries. His X-Wing was downed by a Toff battery, and while trying to escape on foot, he was assaulted by a Toff scout patrol. 3 of his ribs were broken, and of those, 2 had done grave damage by puncturing his left lung and traumatizing the tissue around it. He was taken to the medical facility in a partial Bacta solution to stabilize his vitals, but the shortage of Bacta in the region made his injuries lower priority. He was patched up and given the colomegnazone as a painkiller while he healed. He was back on active duty about a month later, but what we did not realize at the time, and that ignorance includes me, I'll admit, is that Chanis's injuries had left him with a constant stabbing pain.
Pun unintended, of course.
Tact, Mr. Boggs. The political nature of the situation does not entitle you to commentary.
It's okay, General. No, Colonel. His injuries, obtained on the field of battle in an act of courage and protection of the defenseless, as opposed to eye strain injuries obtained while sitting behind a desk for years, or lip infections from kissing ass for a decade of career climbing, were...
That will be quite enough from the both of you.
My brother's injuries had left significant damage to some patches of nerve tissue that left him in constant pain after his release. In a twist of unlucky happenstance, his next assignment was to help patrol Dornan 12, centering on protection of the capital city of Krimmit, which is perhaps the Midrim's central distribution depot for cartels running Megs all the way into the core. I suppose it was only a matter of time before he began taking the illegal variant of his former painkiller just to get through the day. You would not have thought that to have seen him, though. When acting in his official capacity, he was the picture of professionalism.
Miss Lyra?
Major Brightstormer. Hello. I didn't know you were still here.
Oh, no. I came back. We had a few supplies that wouldn't fit in the last shipment. I figured the school would need those last few dozen deaths a little more than my men and I need to rush to the mess for a late breakfast of military gruel.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, Major. We all do. Relocating hasn't been the easiest process, but you've certainly helped it to make it easier on us.
All part of the service. Though I have to admit, I was a little surprised. You don't often hear of a government moving an entire school into a stately government-run tower. Sounds more like the kind of place where I'd expect diplomats to be living, not kids to be rushing about. Speaking of which, where'd they run off to?
The lunches are staggered. My kids are in the cafeteria right now. As for the move, it surprised me too. But you know, I think it's nice. It's refreshing to know that our leaders appreciate the education of our children enough to keep them safe, especially when they have to be here for about 8 hours per day.
I see your point.
And it probably doesn't hurt that the Prime Minister's whole slew of children, nieces, and nephews all go here as well.
Ah, the catch emerges. Well, I'm glad that politics have paid off for once. Trading barge will be in the area for another week or so. If there's anything else you need help getting set up here for you, I'm sure you need only tap the Prime Minister's shoulder.
Thank you, Major. Have a nice day.
Likewise, Miss Lyra.
He was professional and personable, and honestly, he probably should not have passed up the offer to join the diplomatic corps after Endor, but piloting was his life, even after the accident.
The assault?
Yes. What we didn't realize at the time was that this charming, professional, and apparently clumsy brother of mine was hiding his growing addiction to Megs.
Clumsy?
Yes. His medical record includes numerous instances of minor injuries and unfortunate infections picked up on different worlds during his tour, which grew much more frequent after his return to duty.
What relevance does that have to the incident?
Well, he learned something in his pre-addiction doctor visits.
So, Doc, what's the verdict?
Well, unless you have a clinically diagnosed fear of violet mucus, I'd say you'll be fine.
Run that by me again?
You'll be dripping purple snot for the next few days, but aside from that, you're fine. It's just an allergic reaction to pita seeds.
Yet another food to avoid. Thanks, Doc. By the way, the physicals are coming up soon, right?
That's right. Random checkups start in about 2 weeks.
Gotcha.
You don't need to worry about it, though.
How so?
Well, the normal physical just includes the same scans I just ran. So unless you switch bodies at some point in the next 2 weeks, it'd be redundant. It's standard policy. You'll just wait until the next round of physicals in a few months.
In essence, he had found a way around random physicals, which would have included checks of his system for narcotics. It only takes cholamegnazone about 96 hours, 4 days, to clear the user's system, presuming nothing new is introduced and barring any further health problems. So, once he got hooked on Megs, all he had to do was stay clean for a little under a week, then fake an injury or give himself a mild infection of some kind. The doctors would check him out for the trivial ailment, then use the scans to give him a clean bill of health for the next round of physicals.
These physicals are required twice per year in his division, are they not?
Yes, but in the time I was with the division, I learned quite quickly that expediency was often given higher priority than strict adherence to regulations. There were a lot of men and women in that division, and anything that would lower the number of people through the medical bay during physicals, anything barring death, I would imagine, was a welcome option.
That would certainly explain how none of Major Brightstormer's superiors were never informed of his cholamegnazone habit. That doesn't explain the ignorance of those within his own squadron, however.
No, that took far less bureaucratic maneuvering through the system.
Would you care to elaborate on that?
Did you ever meet my brother, sir?
No, I'm afraid not, Lieutenant.
Well, if there's one phrase that could best describe him physically, it'd be, without a doubt, Big Daddy.
No, I don't care, Major. You're insane if you think I'm going to sit back and let this continue.
And just what do you intend to do about it, Flight Officer?
What, you're going to pull rank on me now? That's rich. Look, I may be the new kid around here, but at least I'm clean. If any of the other guys knew their squadron leader was shooting Megs every night in his quarters, they might think twice before flying alongside a drugged-up, narcotic-upped addict in a flight suit.
What did you just say to me, boy?
Drugged-up, narcotic-up.
The other part, you pithy little punk.
If the other guys in the squadron knew...
What in the hell gave you the notion that they don't? But there's a difference between them and you, and it's something you need to learn fast. They understand two very important things. Number one, I'm not just the big guy around here. I'm the biggest guy around here. If I wanted to, I could put your head through that hangar wall and no one would be able to do a thing about it. Number two, with my reputation and decorations, no one would choose to do a thing. for the same reason, and no one will need that physical wake-up call. Flying with me can make your career, son, but pissing me off can torpedo it even faster. If you want to fly something other than a garbage scow over Tatooine, you had better pay attention to who holds all the cards to your future promotions, buddy boy. They don't speak out because they know better, and you won't speak out either.
You're so sure, huh?
Kid, if you were any more scared of me and the rest of the world right now, there'd be urine pooling at your feet.
And the other guys are okay with this?
I don't shoot and fly, I'm not that stupid. But if you felt the pain I do every day, you'd shoot Megs too. I just do it to get by.
You never fly Megged.
I've got a career to think of too, rookie.
And it went like that, over and over again. Physical and professional intimidation with all of his new officers he requested into his squadron, too early for them to have their own solid career footing.
I see.
Colonel, we have a required recess coming up in short time. If you can move on to the incident in question, we can deal with further past occurrences when we reconvene. That suits your inquiry.
Certainly, sir. Lieutenant, let's move ahead to the incident on Crimmon.
Well, it was the same day they finished moving the Kraimen Secondary School into the city spire for protection. He had been escorting a couple of transport carriers bringing supplies to the tower from the trading vessel in orbit. It was just a minor duty, but with the Imperial raids that prompted the school move still a possible threat, they were taking extra precautions with any vessels cleared to fly over residential areas. As far as I understand, it was just him and his wingman.
That would be the late Christoph Walker.
That's right. They had just finished their second supply run, around 1,100 hours. They were just on their way back from the tower, barely having lifted off, when Kraimen's primary sensor array picked up a new group of signals coming in fast. Then the sensors went blank, along with communications. They were being jammed from high orbit. The training vessel had already been taken out.
Walker, we've got ties to starboard incoming. Walker? Damn it. Tweeter, try to cut through the interference. All right, you Imperial scum. Let's play.
To hear the Kraimen governor tell it, he was amazing out there. There were two of them against 2 dozen TIE interceptors, and they cleaned up absolutely outstanding moves. Maybe it was the fact that the imps sent fairly inexperienced pilots and weren't expecting any resistance, let alone a couple of veteran X-Wing pilots, but the sky was wiped clean. Before it was over, though, the pain must have struck. Or nerves, or maybe it was that morning's hit just wearing off. Either way, based on what was recovered from what survived of Tweeter's memory... Tweeter was his astromech. From what survived from the astromech's memory, Chanis's grip on the control stick began to shake. The internal cockpit recorder documented him pulling a colomagnosone injector from his flight suit pocket and injecting it into his bloodstream. Apparently it calmed the shakes enough for him to continue after the ties.
And after the ties?
After the squints were gone, they turned back towards the school tower to check for any damage from the assault. One click out, it happened.
A colomagnosone seizure.
Yes. It's rare, but it happens. And seems to be more common with more frequent usage. He'd been playing the odds too long. And when it hit suddenly, and without mercy. The recorder caught...
Do you need a moment, Lieutenant?
No. Thank you, General. The recorder caught him jerking in his seat, straining against the harness. His muscles spasmed, and his right hand jerked to the side, with the stick still in it. His X-Wing plowed into Walker's, sending it down the 100 meters into a nearby residential area. The collision sent my brother's starfighter into a spin. The uncontrolled flight ended in collision.
With the school tower.
Yes, with the tower.
400 dead from the cafeteria area, and 40 in the adjoining classroom.
Yes.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
It is my conclusion that the New Republic military cannot be held responsible for the unfortunate loss of life in Crimmon. The responsibility falls solely upon a deviant pilot, whose actions circumvented military procedures in violation of military code and civil law. In closing my report, I submit one final comment, attributed to Chanis Brightstormer by a member of his own squadron. Drug abuse can be handled. After all, it's a victimless crime.
You've been listening to a Razor's Edge audio presentation of Star Wars: Addiction,
starring Brian Bassetti as Tal Brightstormer, Brian Henry as Colonel Darren Boggs, Michael Haspel as Channis Brightstormer, Krista Kulazar as Miss Lyra, Rich Siegfried as the General, Edward Gore as Rookie Pilot, Paul Broyles as the Doctor, and Nathan Butler as Narrator. Written, directed, produced, cast, mixed, and music supervised by Nathan Butler. Star Wars Addiction is a non-profit fan production produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Wars and any other copyrighted materials herein, including any music and sound effects, are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended. Extra special thanks from the entire creative team to George Lucas for creating the playground and letting us, the fans, roam within it. This audio drama has been dedicated to all of those working to win the war on drugs. Its casualties are in our streets, our homes, and our hospitals, and we're losing. But we applaud the effort. To do nothing would be far worse than simply losing. From all of us at Racer's Edge Audio, thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you all.